When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
We all have egos. Some men think they're kings and desire royal treatment. But the ego of a true king is unparalleled. It can be dangerous, reckless, and more often than not, deadly. Especially if you're one of his wives. King Henry VIII was a vile excuse for a king. He used manipulation, intimidation, and England's money to nearly bankrupt his kingdom and, along the way, killed thousands of people. Let's peek into history and learn all about the life of this rotten man. Literally, he was rotting from his leg. And it leaked pus.
Ooh.
Magic mirror on the wall. Who is the most rotten one of all? Hi, hello, and howdy, my darlings, and welcome to Rotten to the Core. I am the not-so-evil queen, Joshua Waters, and I'm thrilled to have you join me on my lessons. This is a history podcast where we delve into the lives and actions of some infamous figures from our past. Using my magical mirror and just a touch of humor to bring their stories to life. Our mission is to extract valuable lessons from the mistakes of these historical figures that could be relevant in our lives today. As I said last week, a few of you did write into me with the suggestion of Bloody Mary and now her dad, King Henry VIII. With Henry, I was a little hesitant because I didn't think the man deserved any more attention than he already got. But I kept thinking about him and how I could rip him a new one. If there is one thing I can't stand, it's a fool in power. And Henry VIII was chock full of buffoonery. 5,000 calories of meat a day. And today, we shall humanize him from a king into what he really was. A spoiled, entitled killer. Henry Tudor was born on June 28, 1491 in Greenwich, England. His dad was King Henry VII and his mom was Elizabeth of York. Henry was the second born, otherwise known as the Spare. His brother Arthur was the original heir to the throne, but He died in 1502. While Henry was a child, his dad pretty much ignored him. He was busy teaching Arthur how to be king. So young Henry spent his days with tutors from all over the world, learning how to play instruments, speak multiple languages, and became quite a known sportsman. He was a popular child and learned quickly how to handle the complex world of the aristocratic society. Henry was even geared up for a career in the church, which he still kind of did, in a self-declared type of way. Henry's wit and charm weren't the only things that made him popular, though. Besides the royal bloodline and buckets of money, he was 6 feet tall with bulging muscles, coppery gold hair, bright blue eyes, and a big old cod piece. No, really. This was when men wore those cod pieces over their junk, and the bigger yours was, the more you seemed to be respected. Now, we judge it by sweatpants. From all accounts, he seemed to be a popular child and young man. But the power of the crown, or a possible brain injury, changed all of that. Henry ascended to the throne at the age of 17 in 1509, and hopes were high that he would be great. That wasn't the case, though. Henry wasn't interested in any government business and only seemed to want to play with the military like those little toy soldiers. Although he lacked any strategic or fighting skills, he still invested a lot of time and money into battles and the navy. But we didn't come here to talk about wars. He didn't fight in them anyway. I am more interested in what's he doing at home. Who he was as a person. A family man. Henry married his first wife, Catherine of Aragon, the same year he became king. Remember her from last week's episode, Bloody Mary's mom? Well, Catherine was actually Henry's late brother, Arthur's widow. What's that term? Ah, yes, tunnel brothers. And literal brothers. Ugh. Catherine and Henry actually had 6 children together, but Mary was the only one that survived infancy. Remember, these were tough times. Even the 1%ers couldn't keep their kids alive. They even stayed married for 24 years, but they were unable to produce a male heir that managed to stay alive. Did you know that the sex of a baby is determined by the dad? Can you believe it? All of the killing of his wives, and it was literally his fault. In 1485, the Tudor dynasty was established by conquest, and Henry was the second monarch. At that time, England had not yet had a ruling queen, and the dynasty was not secure enough to risk handing over the crown to a woman, which could have resulted in the domination of a foreign power through marriage. Which is where all that mess with Mary came about. We're all so used to England only having a queen. Rest in peace. It's not that Henry didn't actually have other sons. They were just illegitimate, because he had them with all of his various mistresses. He had several children with a lot of different women, in addition to his 6 wives. Well, while still married to Catherine, Henry had fallen in love with Anne Boleyn, the sister of one of his many mistresses, and tried to persuade the Pope to grant him an annulment of his marriage on the ground that it had never been legal. His argument was that there is some passage in the Christian mythology book about how a man should not marry his brother's widow, and Henry was trying to use that to get a divorce from his wife so he could marry his mistress's sister. Can you imagine asking the Pope to do that? Hey, I want a divorce so I can marry the sister of one of my mistresses? God, this family's more dramatic than the Real Housewives. The Pope wasn't all willy-nilly with divorces, though, especially for royals. Royal divorces had happened before, but Henry's marriage to Catherine had been granted by a pope. So that's pretty damn binding. It all just made Henry mad and started a grudge that would completely change the future of England and its church. By my standards, Catherine would be the lucky wife. She got Henry when he was young and hot, and at first, he seemed to truly be in love with her. Their marriage was known to be unusually good compared to others, especially compared to his other wives. They stayed married until Catherine died in 1536 at the age of 50 of what historians suspect to be cancer, although some say it was poisoning. Henry and Anne Boleyn celebrated her death because they could now officially be together and produce some of those elusive male heirs. Or so they thought. The only heir produced was the future Queen Elizabeth I. For all the trouble they went through to get married, Henry and Anne were only married for 2 freaking years. I mean, it was a good 2 years, I guess, at least for him and his court. He spent money lavishly, held frequent banquets, ate only meat because he thought vegetables were common, and against the will of his advisors, he would participate in jousting tournaments. Well, he should have listened to his advisors and heeded their warning. In 1536, Henry suffered a fall from his horse during one of those tournaments. And a lot of people believe he received some kind of brain damage along with an injured leg. 2 injuries that would stay with him for the remainder of his life. Well, either from brain damage or perhaps coming to terms with his own mortality as a king, something snapped in Henry. He turned into a tyrannical, angry man almost overnight. During his reign, it's believed that up to 72,000 people were executed. But the one who received a lot of the punishment was his current wife, Anne Boleyn. He began blaming her for not giving him a boy and accused her of adultery and treason after a musician was tortured until he confessed of kissing her. Remember, he literally had dozens of mistresses. Anne was charged with adultery, perversion, plotting to assassinate the king, and incest. Pretty much anything the shrimp dick king could think of. What? I didn't start that rumor. Anne Boleyn was known to joke around the court about King Henry's little gherkin. Which didn't help her out any because she was beheaded on May 19th, 1536. And Henry wasn't in mourning long. Or at all. He already had his next wife picked out and they got married only a few days later on May 30th. Her name was Jane Seymour. And she was one of Anne's ladies-in-waiting. These hoes ain't loyal. This is also around the same time that Henry began separating more from the Pope and declared himself the head of the Church of England, seemingly still holding a grudge about not being able to divorce Catherine. Henry was now 45, on his third wife, still had no male heirs and had become a cruel king thanks to a possible brain injury. Oh, and don't forget that injured leg I mentioned. Not only had it caused him to become less active, but it also never really healed, thanks to the medical treatment they had back then. Doctors actually believed that leaving a wound open to the fresh air was good. And we all know what happens to open wounds that aren't clean and keep getting opened up again. Infection. For the remainder of his life, his leg wounds would seep infection that was known to smell up a room. He also began gaining a lot of weight because he was still eating 5,000 calories of meat a day and was not nearly as active as he had been. And I did the math on this one. One medium-sized steak is around 5,000 calories. So Henry was eating the equivalent of 10 steaks a day. Did I mention he also had gout? I know. Shocker.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, his wife, Jane, bless her heart, did manage to get pregnant from Henry, and she actually gave birth to a boy. Henry now had an heir, Prince Edward. Remember the tween king who tried to screw over his older sister, Bloody Mary? And sadly, Jane died shortly after childbirth due to what was called childbed fever. And this time, Henry stayed single for 2 years as he mourned her death. I'm not sure if it was because he loved her or if it was because she gave him a son and heir, the only thing he ever truly wanted. Eventually, he got back on the wagon, and like a lot of marriages of the time, his wife was picked out for him before they actually met in person. They were shown portraits of one another, but we all know how those royals like to edit their portraits to be more flattering. The OG filter. When Henry finally did meet his fourth wife, Anne of Cleves, he thought he had been catfished. She looked nothing like her portrait. He was unimpressed, to say the least, by her appearance. He also said that she smelled bad. What an ass. She probably had a long carriage ride. You know those things get hot and bumpy and nobody has toilet paper. And who the hell didn't smell back then? Ugh. He sure did with that leaky leg.
Ew.
Henry actually found her so ugly and smelly that they didn't even bump uglies and make their marriage official. Henry even had the man who arranged their marriage beheaded. Oh my God, that poor woman. I mean, I've been ghosted and turned down nicely and rudely, but good Lord, her self-esteem must have plummeted after that. I'm not saying I agree with Henry, but if a man literally loses his head because of my looks, I might start to think I'm a little homely. His marriage to Anne of Cleves was annulled after only 6 months. And afterward, Henry and Anne did kind of become friends, and she was considered a part of the king's family. She was even referred to as the king's beloved sister. But she was also the sister of a much-needed political alliance in Western Germany, a duke who was the leader of the Protestants there. And for the 6 months that they were married, Henry had his people out looking for a trophy wife. and not wanting to get their heads cut off, the men deliver to him Catherine Howard, who is around 17 and well known for her beauty. They were married in 1540. Henry was now 49, had a leg leaking pus, and had let himself go physically, which Catherine wasn't feeling. Good for her. She deserved so much better. She knew that, though, because she started taking lovers of her own from all around court. That made old Henry mad, even though he had dozens of mistresses running around. And he charged her with treason, and she was the second wife to be beheaded in 1542. Oh, that poor girl. She was forced to marry a much older, bloated, smelly, leaky king with a known tiny penis, and gets beheaded for taking a few lovers like her husband was doing constantly. All before she even turned 20. Henry's final wife was Catherine Parr, who was 31 when she married Henry in 1543. He was now in his 50s, and his health was only getting worse. He had gained so much weight that it took several men and a pulley to heave him up onto a horse. But Catherine was a sweet woman, and her role in the marriage was more of a caregiving one. She cared for Henry whenever his health was ailing him, and I'm sure she possibly even felt for him in a fatherly way. The older Henry got, the more he grew paranoid, angry, and suspicious. By the time he died on January 28, 1547, at the age of 55, it's said that all those in his court feared him. He had turned from the fun-loving party king into a big old festering monster who was so rotten to the core that it leaked out of his leg. Some people think of Henry VIII as a tough and uncompromising ruler who did what he had to do. He made some changes to the way the church and the state worked together, and he put the clergy under his control, which meant that the Pope no longer had a say in things. It made the crown stronger and allowed him to take over the wealth of the monasteries, which he spent on useless wars. Henry's reformation led to some serious differences between Protestants and Catholics in the kingdom and a lot of people dying because of it. Despite all of the things that Henry was dealing with, like trying to make sure his family stayed in power, he managed to have 6 marriages. But all of them only gave him one son who was really weak and died early, and no clear line of succession. His 2 daughters, Mary and Elizabeth, were both declared illegitimate at different times, and neither of them had any kids of their own. Henry always wanted to go down in history, to be remembered out of all the kings before him. He got his wish. He is the wife-killing, tiny-dicked party king who changed Britain from Catholic to Protestant, better known as Queen Elizabeth I's father. From him, I learned all of his stressing, beheading, and anger over having an heir to keep the line going would only last for one generation after him. I also learned that moderation is healthy. It's all right to indulge here and there, but if all you do is party and treat your body like a meat locker, it ain't gonna last you very long. At least without sleeping pus. Sorry, I just had to mention that one more time. Ugh. And that brings us to the end of our lesson today, my darlings. Let's cleanse ourselves, and I'll let you be off on your next adventure. Just take a deep breath and ground yourself in the here and now. May my mind, body, and spirit communicate clearly, allowing me to live in harmony with myself and those around me. Let any negative thoughts within me fade away, leaving only positivity and love. May I move forward with clarity and alignment with my highest self, allowing ease and flow to guide me toward my greatest desires. May I always remember that I am in constant connection and co-creation with Source. So be it. Thanks for supporting Rotten to the Core. Let's catch up again next week. In the meantime, be happy, find peace, and don't hurt anyone. I'd love to hear what you thought about King Henry VIII and what lessons you learned on any one of my socials. If you enjoy Rotten to the Core, please follow me on Instagram or join me on Patreon. Both of those are at It's Rotten to the Core. My TikTok is at Rotten in History, and you can also listen to me on my other podcast, Mystery Inc., that I do with my brother Shane and friend producer Kim. I also have a Facebook group called Shane and Josh's Rabbit Hole, where we can interact and share some fun, foul, mysterious, rotten, and historical things. It was lovely spending time with you today. Have a great week ahead, my darlings. Bye.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.